We need to talk about the Wolverines and the Spartans. Who do you expect to learn more about this weekend? Wolverines get USC. Spartans hit the road against Boston College.
So I guess the question then would be, if you're going to frame it another way, who has the most question marks? Because I do think that we saw from Jonathan Smith and we saw from Aiden Childs from week one to week two, like they answered some questions in regards to his ability to be a Big Ten quarterback, his ability to lead this team, and Jonathan Smith's ability to handle a bad situation, and then go into a Big Ten stadium on the road, even though it's not Columbus, it's not Penn State, and get a win where a team has traditionally struggled. So I think there's not as many question marks for Michigan State this year for what they are expected to be. I think for Michigan, there's a lot more question marks. Is Alex Orgie going to actually be the answer for Michigan at quarterback? Is the offense going to be better? Is the defense going to finally step up? Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, can you apply pressure on a quarterback? You haven't so far. Like, I think there's just more question marks for Michigan, what they were expected to be and what they actually are. So I think you'll learn more about Michigan.
I agree. I think it's a big spot for the Spartans on the road, but they already have...
No question, it's a big spot.
But they already have a road win this season where they were bigger underdogs, according to Vegas. And Childs showed you something in that game that you can carry with you. I think 3-1 was always the goal for MSU in the first quarter of the season. I mean, 4-0 is better. But I think you're right. Michigan has more questions to answer, so we'll learn more about the Wolverines. Alex Orgie. He wasn't good enough to win the job, so I'm skeptical that he's suddenly going to be some dynamo. But I do think he could provide a spark for a team that's turning the ball over too much. If they just commit to a more conservative game plan, run the ball, quarterback run, keep a couple drives alive, sustain something. You got a really good kicker. Put some points on the board. Let your defense get a breather. A defense that's disappointing, but not a bad defense. I think there could be some stabilizing with Alex Orgie. I don't want to get any bit carried away because, again, he didn't win the job, and we don't know if he can pass the ball consistently. But can he play keep away? Yeah. Can they lean on the strength of this team, which will continue to be running the football? Mullings, Edwards.
Well,
and yes, even Orgie on a big third down where he just, lowers his shoulder, gets out of the pocket, or you steal a drive, you steal a first down. That's what I think you're hoping that he brings to the offense.
And I mean, okay, let's just take what we're talking about with Kyler Murray. The opportunity to pick up a key third down.
Yeah.
That frustrates USC and keeps the drive going. That's where Michigan has struggled. They've struggled to get off the field on third downs and defense. So it's, you can look at it. And I think what Gary Danielson said yesterday, and I always love listening to him because his insight and the way that he studies the game is always so good and so in depth. This is a running team. All right, we even with Davis Warren,
yep.
No matter what quarterback you inserted, there were questions of, okay, you have a weapon in Colston Loveland. What other weapon are you throwing the ball to? This is traditionally, and especially this year, a team that has to run the football. Now you get another weapon in the run game. And it should, if you're able to hold that backside edge because of the read option, it should make things easier up front, one, for the offensive line, but also for Kalel Mullings, Donovan Edwards, Ben Hall, all of the other running backs.
Right, and again, they're going to probably cheat with the safeties, but the idea of QB run or those option, read option plays is you get numbers. You take a defender off the field.
Right.
It helps your offensive line. It's one fewer guy you have to block, and it's a numbers game up front. Gary also brought up yesterday that USC's defense, he didn't say they're a physical defense. He said they were improved, and I think that's the consensus, but he said they aren't as physical. So if I'm Michigan, my pathway is two tight ends, two running backs, run the ball, 5 yards a carry, just lean on them not being ready for Big Ten bully ball and try to get out of Dodge in a home spot where Alex Orgie might be the stabilizer for the short term. I don't think he's good enough. I certainly haven't seen enough. I certainly don't believe he's the guy that's going to resurrect the season and get him up to 10 or 11 wins. But can he help him win this game, steal this game? Yeah, I actually think there's some thought there.
And even if it's not two running backs, I would love to see Kalel and Donovan Edwards on the field at the same time. Same thing with, with the Lions that we talk about with their two backs. But if you're able to put and just admit, hey, Max Bredesen, they use him, have used him, and continue to use him as a fullback. put them in the backfield, put them in motion, as they have done. But, you know, don't be ashamed to say we're a running team. We're going to run it. We don't care if you know it. We're just going to simply mash the football.
It's our best path to victory. Doesn't mean we're a 10-win team, but it's our best path to victory.
Not only is it their best opportunity to continually pick up first downs, but to keep the ball out of the hands of the USC offense that can score very quickly.
Yep. Throwing its running backs, tight ends, and branches, that game breaker, that human joystick at receiver. Jason in Royal Oak, who are we going to learn more about this weekend? You're on 97.1.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Love 97.1, the ticket. I think we're going to learn more about Michigan State playing Boston College, because this is our first real test, in my opinion. And if Childs can cut down on, like, his risky throws and decision-making, I think we're going to be able to learn more about Michigan State. What else was I going to say? I'm sorry.
You're all right.
Sorry. I'm autistic. I mean, I forget what I plan on saying. And regarding, like, U of M and USC, USC is expected to win. But if Michigan does end up winning, it's in the big house, you know. So I don't think we're going to learn a ton about them. And U of M has a lot of quarterback issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think – aren't they going to, like, you know – they made a decision about who they're playing for quarterback. I don't think we're going to be able to learn a lot from the USC U of M game, but I think we are going to be able to learn a lot, like I said, from the BC versus Michigan State game. I mean, I know we beat Maryland, but that could have been just a fluke, you know? That's all I got to say. Love you guys. Take care.
Yeah, bye. Thanks, Jason. So if Michigan were to beat USC, I do think it would be quite the statement. I think there's a lot of talk of 6-7 wins. You beat USC, I think you're talking eight wins probably for this football team, maybe nine. I do think there's some swing game potential to the USC game. Thanks. There's also swing game potential to Boston College, though. Like, if MSU were to win this game on the road, it'd be two road wins in the first month for Jonathan Smith. I feel like...
Both as heavy underdogs.
As more than a touchdown underdogs. To win this game, I think Childs is going to have to play really well. Right? That goes without saying. I don't know what's going on with some of these receivers that seem to be injured. If he goes on the road with a nicked up receiver room and throws three touchdowns and takes down Boston College, and you're 4-0 at Michigan State in year one of Jonathan Smith, I don't want to downplay that at all. But I don't think we're really going to know how good MSU is until they play Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, and Oregon. Right? That's that middle of the season gauntlet. This would be an uplifting win for Michigan State. It maybe would tap into, hey, could this be a season we never thought? Could this be a team that wins eight games if you win this one?
Yeah, and I do get his take on this is the biggest test that, even though going to Maryland is not an easy task, I do think Boston College is a better team than Maryland. This would be a bigger win, and we've already seen Michigan tested against Texas. Now, USC is not Texas, but they failed that test. We kind of know how that went.
So then you kind of have a challenge to the coaching staff too, right? Like, you know what this looked like the last time a big program came into Ann Arbor. It's only been a couple weeks. What changes have you guys made? Obviously, the quarterback's the obvious one, John, right? But what other changes? Defensively, we asked Sharon, like, can you compare Texas and USC's offense? And he said there are some similarities in getting the ball in space to athletes. What have you guys done schematically to where you're not chasing your tail? To where there's not open guys running in the middle of the field and in the flats. If you're going to bring pressure, okay, but you have to blitz fill. You have to know where the hot routes are going to be and swarm to the football. Are they going to be a better coach defensive team in this game? I think we'll learn that from Michigan. How did they respond from the Texas game?
Yeah, and knowing that, I mean, everybody's going to take something from that worked against the team. So what does USC do? What do they implement that Texas did? And sure. I do think that 100%, they're not going to say, well, our receivers are so much better than Texas's, so we're going to go ahead and throw at Will Johnson. If that's the theory, that, you know, we have enough receivers, we don't have to throw Will Johnson's way. We can move everybody around and create some opportunities on the other side. How does Wink Martindale adjust the defense to give the other Amir Hall, Jair Hill, all of the different corners that are going to be, you know, opposite Will Johnson, some support?
You have a Will Johnson theory. Let's get to that next. Michigan will turn to Alex Orji with USC coming to the big house. Skeptical. He wasn't good enough to win the job in camp. But I will say, maybe he's a gamer. Maybe give him a spark. Avoids the turnovers. And they try to bully ball USC. John, speaking of a spark, you have a Will Johnson theory.
Yeah, and the theory is, all right, he's probably the best athlete on the team. I think we can all agree on that. Maybe Alex Orji will show otherwise. I think he's a tremendous athlete. We'll see what he can do as a playmaker. If they're not going to throw at Will Johnson, he's not going to get that tired. The receivers have not been dynamic, so to speak. Will Johnson has size, he has speed, he has athletic ability, he can catch. We've seen that. Let's try him on offense too. Let's go full Travis Hunter. And I'm not saying, 110 snaps a game,
but 10 to 15?
Yeah, 10 to 15.
And he gets the ball maybe on 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, and so if you show him as a threat, and you just need a guy to make plays. I think he's a guy that can make plays.
Well, especially if they stack the box. Like, this could be used in tandem with Alex Orji. And you can get creative jet motion with the play, against the play, counters, but then screens, dump off, shallow, one-on-one because the safeties are condensed in the box. If he wins one-on-one one time, it could be the play that flips the field.
And then all of a sudden, flip the field once, and maybe it's a difference in the game. But then also, he can become a great decoy. You know you want to push the ball to him. So it opens things up. Around across the board. And it's the same thing with Alex Orji. If he's going to be used as a runner, it helps Khalil Mullins and Donovan Edwards.
John, I got a question for you here, and I love it as a Michigan fan, just throwing a different look.
Yeah.
I'm always in for you show different looks, and he has athletic ability, I think, to at least hold his own out there. Who knows if it works? Let me ask you this, though. Is it in his best interest from his perspective to do that? And the road I'm going down is alluding to a ticket text we just got, which I think was very good. I think it was from Freddy the Pizza Man.
Oh, yep.
And he does allude to if they lose this game, so this might be a little premature, but at what point do these top first-round picks on defense start to worry and look out for their future?
So the text, this is from Freddy the Pizza Man.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and shout out to Freddy. Yeah. He was in New York doing his thing recently in that pizza challenge. He says, if Michigan loses to USC, how long until the top 10 picks start to check out and get ready for the NFL? It is a college trend these days.
It is. And quite honestly, I think Will Johnson is only the only one in that category that says, I could sit out the rest of the year, or I could not play as much. I could tell the coaches, hey, don't put me in there. I don't think he'd do that.
But not this game.
No, not this game.
Because they still have a season. Technically, they can achieve all their goals if they turn the corner in this game.
No, but the question is, if they lose this game. The other ones, I truly believe, coming into the season, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, and they've played decent individually, but what have they done to jump off the page? Or off the film? Like, what have they done against in their... their big test this year, playing against NFL talent. That was Texas. What did they do?
Right, exactly. And then you have to judge, NFL scouts are going to look at, is it the scheme? Is it Martindale? Or is it them? And I would say Graham is probably still mocking into the top 10.
Right, but if you want to go two, or three, which some people say.
I mean, yeah, but
you're going to need to go out and put more on tape.
Yeah, but Johnson has solidified himself. It'd be pretty shocking at this point he's not top five.
I agree. Any
corner in need would be the only reason I don't guarantee him as a top five pick.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you've got top, five teams up there that need an edge rusher and a quarterback.
Tackle. I mean, the premium positions still go one, two, three, top five. Yeah. Ticket texters, 248-539-9797. The question was, who will we learn more about? Both teams have swing games on the schedule. Michigan State goes on the road to Boston College. Michigan brings USC to town for the Big Ten opener. Texter says, Michigan needs to be Iowa to make it through the season. The O-line stinks. Kirk Campbell is not a qualified play caller. That's Mike at MCE. Texter says, I fully expect USC to stack the line, 8 in the box, dare Michigan to throw. If Orji can't do anything but throw the ball in the dirt, Michigan's going to go 3 and out a lot. How long of a leash does Orji have? in your mind?
I mean, it's a pretty long leash.
Like, they're not going to go back to Davis Warren if it's the second quarter and they can't pass the ball?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it depends on how healthy Jack Tuttle is.
Right.
Because he's been banged up. We've seen him throw pregame. He's thrown in practice a little bit. I don't know how healthy, if he's ready to go out there. That would be a determining factor. And then it's also, at some point, if you know, and I don't think it happens in this game. I would say at least this game is at, you know, the length of the leash, probably longer. But when do they just say, you know what, Jaden Davis?
And Jerome confirmed this week there's no, like, conversation with the family about redshirting.
Right.
He did that in his general media availability this week. So it's not off the table, especially if you can't get anything going down the field at all.
Yeah.
And the thought with Orgy is not that he's going to be Peyton Manning, but if he can get some one-on-ones and hit a couple throws, soften up a defense, and if all else fails, battering ram your quarterback, right?
Yeah.
One extra blocker, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, take the ball away.
I think the bigger question is who's and I think I asked Sharon this, you know, that Davis is still number two, but because it depends on the health of Jack Tuttle and,
sure,
and the progress of Jaden Davis. What happens if you're going to use him as a battering ram? What happens if he gets dinged up? What if you're forced to put somebody else in?
It's Warren back in the game, and he's been a turnover machine. Texter says, we'll learn more about MSU because we don't know much of anything about who they are and what they'll be. Michigan, I think we have an idea of what they are. A limited offensive football team with a good, not great defense. We don't know enough about MSU.
That's pretty good evaluation.
Texter says, Boston College, that's a true test. Give me a break. Maryland was the bigger test. MSU already showed that. Get out of here. That's Joe at work.
I don't know. I going into the season, sure. That is the statement that you would make. Now that you've seen them, and here's where my eyes were opened up. Florida State, you're kind of like, okay, that's a big win. It was a ranked Florida State team. It started off the season like that. But now that you've seen Florida State, you know, yeah, be a crappy team.
It has a completely different feel.
Right, it has a different feel. But then you play Missouri.
Tight.
Number six in the country. And at halftime, you have the number six team in the country going, holy cow, this team hit us in the mouth. Like, this team is for real. 17-14? Like, it wasn't just garbage touchdowns at the end of the game that made it look like they were a good team. They were a touchdown in the first quarter, a touchdown in the second quarter. They were a team that was hanging right there with the number six team in the country.